Y'all please join me in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, guide our thoughts and our words today. You are the potter. We are your clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So every year, my mom's people, the Ungers, and all the extended Ungers, get together for family reunions. When I was a kid, I think it was 26 years ago, give or take a year or two, we were down in southern Missouri for the family reunion. My great aunt, Lorraine, and my great uncle Ed lived there down near a town called Ava in the Ozarks. And so the folks from Illinois trucked down to Missouri, and the folks from Kansas came over, and some of the folks from Texas came up, and we all got together. We were there a few days, and one of the days we were there, we went to one of the local state parks there down in the Ozarks. And my great aunt, I guess you'd call her a naturalist. She liked birds, and she liked flowers, and she liked bugs, and she liked trees. And she'd spent most of her life out in the country, and so she enjoyed all those things. So my great aunt Lorraine rounded up me and my cousin Luke and my cousin John and said, "Come on, boys, we're going to go for a hike." And she wasn't the kind of person you argued with. So we went over to the ranger station there in the state park, and the ranger gave us a map, and he said, "Well, this is a nice walk. It'll take you all about an hour and a half." So we set out. I don't know, less than an hour later, maybe 50 minutes later, we were back at the ranger station. The ranger said to my aunt, "Oh, so you weren't able to finish it. It was too hard." Now, my great aunt was the most honest person you were ever going to meet in your life. And she said, no, you told us where that turnaround was at the end of the trail. We went to it and we came back." She handed him back the map and we left. And he had a very surprised look on his face. Now, I can't prove it to you, but I'm pretty sure he didn't expect some old lady with three kids tailing along behind to do this trail so fast that was supposed to be hard. It's fun when you surprise folks, isn't it? Isn't it fun when you surprise people and you show them that you could do something they didn't think you could do? When as a kid did you surprise someone in a good way? Maybe they thought, "Oh, they're not old enough to do that, but look what you were able to do." Maybe you are a kid and you've done that recently. When have you mastered something at any age? I don't care if you're young, old, or anywhere in between, that somebody thought was going to be really hard for you, but for whatever reason, you were really able to take to it, and it went smoothly. When has someone, if you consider yourself a little older, second-guessed you, and then you were able to show them that, wait a minute, it doesn't really matter your age. You can achieve an awful lot in this life. When have you been sick, and you were amazed what you were still able to do? I remember my father always talks about my cousin Dave giving him the worst beating he ever got in Scrabble, even though Dave wasn't feeling too well. Have you ever surprised yourself at what you were able to do? Have you ever sold yourself short and then you suddenly saw, wait a minute, I can do more than I thought? The first creation story in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, at the end of it, we are told that on the day that God created human beings, God did not just say that creation was good, it was very good. And this is the point I want to make about this. God did not create any of us to be mediocre. God created us for excellence. God created us to be excellent at things. Now, we're not going to be excellent at everything, and we're not all going to be excellent at the same things. But God created us to be a profound blessing to this world in some way. And God equips us with the Holy Spirit to be able to live that out. And it doesn't matter the season or place you are in your life. God is calling you. Now, like many people, right or wrong, I grew up watching The Simpsons. A few of you are already rolling your eyes. The Simpsons, whether you like them or not, are famous for being satire. They often say things there that are meant to not be taken as literal truth. Well, one of the episodes many years ago, Homer, the main character, who's just awful, that's the point, he's talking to his father, Abe. Abe's an older man, and Homer says, "Don't you know old people are useless?" And then he's taunting his dad and just being a real jerk, because that's kind of who Homer is. Well, the main thrust of the episode is that there's someone who's a burglar who's going around town stealing things and causing all kinds of problems. And Homer is bound to determine to stop this. So, of course, Homer causes nothing but mayhem and chaos and makes things worse. Meanwhile, Abe figures out who the burglar is and leads everyone to being able to catch the burglar. So, of course, Abe is proving to his son, no, I am not, in fact, useless. Now, I would like to say to you that no actual human being outside of a cartoon where everyone is drawn on a sheet of cellophane somewhere would say that they're useless. But I've sat at a hospital bed as a hospital chaplain and had someone tell me, "Chaplain, I'm just so useless. Why doesn't God just take me?" And I've had variations of that conversation with a lot of other people as a minister. I've even had variations of that conversation with some people in my extended family. Because of declining health or extreme old age, I've had people tell me, "I'm useless. Why am I still alive?" That's heartbreaking. And it's not true. We are never useless and we are never a burden. Our scripture for today reminds us that God calls people of every age to lead God's people into the future. The prophet Joel wrote a short book. Or actually, I always wonder if he wrote it or if maybe these were sermons that God was inspired him to give and then someone else wrote them down later. We don't really know. But Joel is short. It's only 3 chapters long. The main event in the book is that there has been a plague of locusts that has come upon the kingdom of Judah. And the people are desperate. The locusts have eaten the crops, the locusts have eaten the orchards, the locusts have threatened their livelihood, and the people are worried that this is the end, that there's going to be a famine and that many people are going to die. The prophet Joel says, however, that even in the midst of this crisis, God is still going to be with us and that there will be hope for the future. And late in the 2nd chapter of Joel, we hear these words about leading into a better and brighter future where everyone will have a role in God's future for the people. The young will prophesy. The young will be given the words from God to help guide society to the path that God wants them to do. And the old, now it says old men, but let's expand that. The old, the elders in the community are going to dream dreams of a better and brighter future from God. And people of all ages are going to be getting visions of God about what is to come. God's gift of love through God's Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on people in all stations in life, in all places in life, in all ages in life. And all of them together are going to be guided towards working to a better future, guided by God's love. And that was true for the people of Judah maybe 2,400 years ago, and it's still true for us today. Because through Jesus Christ, all of us are called to offer forgiveness to people, to share love with people, and to be equipped to in some way make this world a place where people know greater love, greater health, greater dignity, greater hope. All of us are guided by God. So I offer 2 thoughts to you today from this passage. The first one kind of goes back to what I said before. You are not useless. Do not let anyone ever tell you you are useless or tell you you are a burden or anything like that. I can't honestly speak from experiencing extreme old age or an extended life-threatening illness. That is not something I have walked through, and I know it is something that some of you are walking through. But no matter where you are in life, I believe and I have witnessed that people can do profound services to God, no matter anything that seems like a limitation. In one of the churches where I was pastor before I moved here, there was an old woman. She was 92. She went out and volunteered twice a week. She only went out during the day because she didn't like driving at night anymore. But one day of the week, she'd cross the street and go over to the nursing home, and she would sit down and have breakfast with the folks there. And she would talk to people. And she would be in community with people, some of whom she'd known for a long time, some of whom she just met. But she wanted to make sure that they knew that they were not forgotten and that someone in the community loved them and wanted to hear their stories. And also, this same woman on Mondays would go with a group and she would sew quilts. Most of these quilts went to help children in great need. They would go to a couple of agencies in the area that served foster children and served children who'd suffered abuse or neglect. The absolute most needy kids, many of whom had simply not had the opportunity to have a good childhood, she and these other women would make quilts for them so they would have at least one homemade thing that they could be given to know that they were loved and that someone cared about them. It was amazing to me how she served the youngest and the oldest in the community. I knew another man who was dying, and he knew he was dying. He had bone cancer. In the midst of that, he still shared music with people. He still shared jokes with people. He still laughed with people. He reached out to people. Even though he knew he didn't have much time left, he was by gum going to leave this world better than he found it. And I was inspired and honored as he lay dying in the hospital. He said, "Write some stuff down I want to say. I want to have my children know how much I love them, and I want to leave some words behind for them." It was powerful. He knew even as he neared death, he could still be a blessing to someone. And I want to offer one final example, someone I knew when I lived in Boston. There was a man at the church that I attended who was dealing with profound mental illness. Between his mental illness and the drugs that he had to take to try to control it, he was extremely limited in the ways he could function. He had a really hard time connecting with people, and he was not able to work. He was going to be on disability for the rest of his life. And sadly, there was no cure. The best they could do was control the symptoms. And yet, I remember when I had a health crisis in my own life, the card that he wrote to me was one of the most meaningful ones. Here was this man who had to struggle each and every day just to function, and yet he had taken some time to try to offer me some words of hope, when the truth was my health had much better off. I had much more hope for my health than he was ever going to have for his. God can use you no matter what to offer great love and hope to other people. Do not let anyone tell you, and please don't tell yourself, that you don't have a purpose, that you don't have some way that you can bless people. Now, you may not be able to do something you once did, and that can be incredibly hard. That is a real and sincere grief when there's a season of our life that ends and we're into another season of life. And if that's where you're at and something that you used to do that gave you great joy to help others is something you can't do, we grieve with you for that, and we want to help you grieve and walk through that time. But you will be given something by God's Holy Spirit that you can do to be a blessing. Maybe your days of fixing roofs or wrangling three-year-olds are over, but God knows your heart, and God will give you a gift from the Holy Spirit so that you can continue to show love to other people. And my second point is that no matter the circumstances, not only can you serve, God needs you to serve. At no point do we get to say, "I've done my bit." It never stops. And when I say it never stops, I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't mean that as a burden. God invites us to be able to bless the lives of other people around us at every stage and season in life. Now, it may be that God is calling you to do something different. Just because you volunteered once with some kindergartners at one of the local schools, it doesn't mean necessarily that God expects you to do that for the next 30 years. God may call you to something else, and that's okay, but God is going to call you. At no point do we get to say in the church, "I'm not going to do anything anymore." We may not do the same thing. We may need to take a break from something we've been doing, but God is inviting us to serve in some way. At no point do we say to the wider community, "I don't have to help anymore, I volunteered a lot." We are all connected, as Martin Luther King Jr. put it, in a web of mutuality. We are all invited to be part of God recreating and remaking this world in Jesus' name. And no matter where we are in life, we have a role to play. Here within the doors of the church and beyond the doors of the church as well, to offer hope and love and mercy to a badly broken world. So I want to close with a couple of questions. What would it look like for those of us here in this congregation and in this community for our young people and our old people to prophesy and to have dreams and visions for the future? What is God using each and every one of us to say to this wider community so that we can be part of the recreation of this part of existence? What dream and vision for the future is God giving us, whether we know that we'll see that future or not? I heard a story several years ago at a conference. It was about a United Methodist Church in Washington, D.C. A pastor was sent there. She was a young woman. She was sent there and basically told, this church is probably doomed, and you'll probably be the pastor that closes the doors, or the pastor after you will be, but do the best you can while you're there. But she walked into that church believing that maybe God still had a purpose. Maybe God wasn't done with them yet. Well, she's tried to do some things to reach out to some new people in the community, and many of the members of the church said, why are you bothering? We're doomed. But she believed God wasn't done with them yet. Some folks didn't like the fact that she was trying to do some different things, and they stopped giving their money, but the oldest member of that church was apparently a 101-year-old woman, and apparently she had some fairly significant resources. And when the pastor visited her every couple of months, the woman said, you just keep doing what you're doing, and I'll keep funding it. I don't think God's done with us yet. I think maybe God has a purpose for us yet. After a couple years, that church quintupled in worship attendance, which I believe is the right word for they increased fivefold in their worship attendance. And that old elder in the church did not live to see the end of that. But she had had a vision. She had had a dream. She believed that God wasn't done with her yet. And that God wasn't done with that church yet. And that church went from being, oh, they're going to close their doors, to being a church that was being raised up at a national conference as a way of seeing, hey, you never know what God might do if you actually open up your heart to God. So here's the question for all of us. What is God calling us to do? Wherever we are in life, whatever gifts we have, what is God calling us to do? Because I know God ain't done with any of us yet. Let us feel God's vision and let's live into it. And let's see how we can bless each other and bless this world. Amen? Amen.